Whenever you're ready, Seth. Get in the zone. Auto zone.
Take us away.
Oh, I can't wait for this magic to start.
Welcome back to Space Castle, everyone. Your clubhouse and ours for all things nerdy. I'm Seth, doing the intro for once.
I'm Alex.
Keep going.
Still not doing the intro.
Oh, come on, coward. All right, fine, I'm DT.
Does his names at the end, DT. Don't pressure him. It's heavy work to lift. It's fine.
I could do a beginning and end. It's just going to be the whole podcast if I just, you know, people get tired of it.
Alex, don't let DT pressure you, man. Don't give in to peer pressure. Just follow your heart. Just do it when your heart tells you.
Alex, do drugs.
Do it.
Play D&D and listen to death metal. They're fun.
That actually sounds great. Yeah, no, let's do that.
So do drugs.
Well.
I got plenty of positive drug enforcement from those D.A.R.E. campaigns in the 90s and those speakers that came to school. We all sat crisscross applesauce in the gymnasium in the third grade, and I learned more about drugs than I ever would have from the D.A.R.E. program.
Have you guys heard that D.A.R.E. actually had the reverse effect and more kids ended up doing drugs because of D.A.R.E. than not doing drugs?
Yes. The officers always made them sound so cool.
Right? Because the officers are doing the drugs.
Do you guys remember seeing the... God, it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago now that the D.A.R.E. like official was like actually literally selling drugs to kids on campus during the D.A.R.E. things.
Mm-hmm. Of course it was. That's his prime fucking demographic. Who else is he going to sell it to? Come on.
Yeah, but like do it off campus. Like do it on your own time. Don't do it on the clock.
That's way too much fucking work. No. That's like trying to sell Subway sandwiches at like the Denny's across the street.
What?
I'm going to go root through my cardboard boxes because I'm pretty sure one of my vintage D.A.R.E. tees is worth about $400 now.
It might be.
Honestly, yeah, it might be. If I've learned anything about vintage band tees, then yeah, probably.
Hey, Seth, what are we talking about in this episode?
We're talking about drugs, Alex.
Oh, obviously. Clearly, I didn't get that.
Okay. No, for real. I have been thinking quite a lot lately, which may come as a surprise.
good job. You've used your gray matter.
So I'm building out Space Castle VR, as I talk about constantly. But as part of that, you know, having to literally build all of these interactions and all of these different game mechanics and systems and stuff, it got me really hyper-focused on different game mechanics in other games that I really enjoy, particularly ones that don't really see a lot of highlighting. Like, we all know Doom's music is spectacular. We all know combat systems. We all, like, all of these things. We get it. There's other things that are really specifically amazing. Okay, so, for example, I want to talk about, like, say, door interactions, okay? This is something that was brought to mind in the pregame, which if you join Patreon, you can definitely check that out.
Patreon.com/SpaceCastlePod.
Nice plug. Our...
Good job.
You set him up, I knock him down, son.
I should add bowling to Space Castle. Anyways, so...
Door interactions. Tell us about the doors.
So, for example, the doors in Resident Evil are fucking terrible. And you notice that they're bad because they're impossible to interact with. They're just finicky and gross and bad and boring.
Awkward.
And terrible. And I hate them. We know this because they stand out.
There's a lot in Resident Evil that's pretty fucking terrible. I am somebody who, I owned a PS1. Like, I played Resident Evil, the first one when it came out. And that franchise, I'm sorry, just never fucking clicked to me because all of the different aspects of that game were just super awkward. Like, the tank-style controls, the awful fucking inventory, the door interactions have always been shit. I get why people love it and why they glommed onto it, but for me personally, it never worked from day one. So, Seth, I'm feeling exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
So, we notice it because it's terrible, right? And since I'm having to build a lot of these things, I'm trying to notice the good ones. So, I want examples from y'all. We're gamers, pro MLG, 360 no-scope gamers.
Yep, that's literally my bio in every dating website I'm on.
I have a verifiable montage, so yeah.
I'm gonna need that fucking montage, friend. Have you been holding out on me all these years?
Is it like a sizzle reel? Do you, when you apply for new jobs, do you show that video to prospective employers and be like, this is it. Don't have to ask me any questions. Hire me or don't hire me.
No cover letter. It's just me playing MLG on Warlock. My battle rifle is lethal. That's what it says in an email. My battle rifle is lethal. Quad shot for days. And then I just drop my montage link.
And that's how Alex got hired to be a surgeon.
A surgeon of death. So like just a regular surgeon.
Yeah.
Got him.
Oh, damn.
Was that an indictment on America's healthcare system?
I thought it was a deep cut Sweeney Todd reference, but probably both.
Was Sweeney Todd an indictment on America's healthcare system?
It was an indictment of the British healthcare system in Victorian England.
Do I not know anything about history at all?
Maybe. So, at the risk of turning this into a Sweeney Todd episode, which we will have to do at some point because what a fascinating musical that turned out to be, I want to talk about games. I want to talk about game mechanics. Okay, so I want your guys' takes, right? Give me some examples, maybe that I can like adapt a little bit into Space Castle VR, or maybe just use as like, yeah, this is the right way to do this. Like, let's see if I can avoid the wrong way kind of thing. I know you guys have some examples. Just pick some.
I can start generally. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the like intangibles thing that you talk longer on it in pregame. But it's important to mention again here is that I think the best thing that a video game can do when it comes to mechanics is make them unnoticeable. It's just like editing. And that's what you learned in film school is like people will forgive bad video because, you know, your eyes are they deceive you regularly, but they will not forgive bad audio. You can be deceived by your ears, but not as much. I think that when it comes to video games, they're very glaring, obvious things that can stick out when it comes to mechanics. And the more seamless it is, the better. I say that to say that like I'd prefer to play a game that is really short and small and tiny in scope that is perfectly polished, 220 grit polished, than something really coarse and yeah, I know Seth goes like 5,000 grit polished. but what my point is that I'd rather play something really small, concise and perfect than something that's kind of long and clunky and I'm going to plod through.
Dude, totally. You know what? Not to derail this immediately, but I think that's why I've been hitting so much VR lately. Is because most of the VR games right now are small, adorable, quaint, highly polished stories. They're like 2 or 3, 4 hours tops of this like game that's really, really well polished because it has to be because it's VR. It has to be like really well polished because any bad interaction might actually literally make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are super polished, but they're all really small right now. So you get these like short stories that I absolutely adore.
And there's the other point for me is story is important, but I mean, that's not so much game mechanics. I just want to be immersed, right?
Yeah.
Games have the unique station wherein they occupy more of our free time than many other entertainment mediums. I'm going to spend more time in a game than I am reading a book, watching a movie, watching a television series. And I wanted to have an intriguing and immersive story. I want consequences. I want fast pacing. And those are some of the staples that I see are important. And I think those are highlighted by good game mechanics. You notice bad game mechanics if the pacing's off. You notice bad game mechanics if you're not invested in the story. You need all of those things to kind of smooth it out. But yeah, DT, give us more of the technical aspect.
Yeah, I think, again, Resident Evil, I'm going to catch some flack. And if you want to send me an angry email, please do so at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com. Resident Evil, I think, is a really good example of just really shitty mechanics. Again, like the tank controls where you have to spin your character around to aim your gun and like hit a door or like find an object. The really fucking shitty inventory system and just having to combine items so many times to like heal yourself or combine weapons and whatnot to progress through the game. The inventory system being so fucking bad and clunky. It's just, for me, the first Resident Evil is a game that is scary and intense because you're struggling against the game itself so much to like survive, as opposed to the game actually being a legitimately scary experience. The tension is created by the really shitty mechanics. Like a dog jumps through the window. you have to spin around and sort of try and aim and kill the dog before you can move forward. Nowadays, with proper game mechanics, that wouldn't even be an issue. You'd have to find other ways of creating tension. But yeah, I think the Resident Evil series is a really good example of just really bad mechanics that for whatever reason we're just apologetic for. Like, we're able to apologize for it and move past it and just accept it.
Yeah. That might be because they're good enough.
They're good enough. But like I said before, it's a highly atmospheric and theoretically scary game. But the mechanics of it feel so clunky and so bad that for me, I was never scared playing the original Resident Evil because I was so frustrated just trying to get a grasp on the controls. Like, that was like that was where the tension of the game came from for me. Was not like, oh, here comes a zombie around the corner. Am I going to fucking kill it? Am I going to survive? Am I able to progress? I have to find the next key to get to the door, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I just died. I reloaded my save. I know that zombie's going to come around that fucking corner. Am I going to be able to spin my character around in time this time to be able to kill that zombie before he kills me? That's not tension. That's bad game design. Sorry.
On the other side of that coin, you get a game like Gears of War, which, you know, tentpole title for Xbox. When Gears of War came out, you play the first couple of missions and you immediately understand how everything works. Mm-hmm. You understand the mechanics. You understand where the locusts are coming from. You know how to plug up the holes. You know how to shoot the guns. They're very simple. But the movement mechanics is what throws me into a celebratory frenzy, because it's just really strong. You understand how to hurdle. You understand how to take cover.
Roadie running.
Yeah. You shoot while in cover. And it was so smooth and buttery that it translated to multiplayer. To the point where if you hadn't been playing multiplayer like steadily for a couple of weeks, you could not compete. Like, I came from Halo in my prime time playing like nonstop. Switched to Gears of War multiplayer just to see how it was like the landscape. And I got absolutely trashed. I got smacked in every match. And it wasn't because people knew how to shoot better. It was because they knew how to move better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was intuitive. It was like, all right, I'm going to run at this wall. I knew exactly when I need to tap A to slide into place, into cover, how to roll at an angle at a 45 backwards directly, and then shoot in the middle of my roll. The movement was so buttery and smooth, well thought out.
I think maybe Gears laid the foundations for our modern sort of fast paced games, both shooters and third person games of various types, where like movement is everything. These days, it truly is like one of the most important things to get right in a game, which is why things like Call of Duty are so good and like the new Battlefield is so bad. It had slight bugs in its movement mechanics, and like that doesn't hold up anymore. You just can't do that. That's also why Respawn Entertainment, if you remember that dev studio, they made a bunch of things as a different group, all got fired from Infinity Ward after Call of Duty. And then they formed Respawn and made Titanfall and Titanfall 2.
Ah, yes.
Those are like gold standard game movement : the video game. Like, they are the best movement in games, in my opinion. And I think that's like what the whole game is built on, is its movement.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about just basic good controls versus having a stylized system of movement and locomotion for your character and getting one right and getting one wrong. So Titanfall is a really good example of getting both the tight controls and the tight locomotion for your character correct. I think, and again, I am fully prepared to get yelled at on Twitter, on Instagram, on the Discord, on fucking Gmail. I think Jedi Fallen Order is a really poor example of getting the locomotion for a character wrong. I think the wall running, platform jumping is all just a little bit off.
Yeah.
I think that EA, when they set out to make it a Souls-like game, they understood the basis of it, but they didn't understand the timing and the intricacies that go into making that work properly. And it fails on multiple levels because it just doesn't feel fair and honest and good like a Souls-like game does. Like, Elden Ring is fucking hard. Like, I still haven't beaten that fucking game. It is a fucking hard game, but it is fair because you understand the mechanics. You understand dodge rolling. You understand moving against your opponent, when to rush in, when to back off. If you're going to swing something, you have to commit to that swing because there is no canceling your animation. The bosses have the same thing. In Jedi Fallen Order, the enemies and the bosses can cancel their animations, and they can spin 360 degrees and still attack you mid-animation, and it doesn't feel fair. The mechanics of the combat system they tried to emulate just fall fucking short, and I hate the game because of that, because I do like Souls-like games. I do love Elden Ring, but Jedi Fallen Order just feels punishing and unfair, and I don't want to play it ever again because I felt like I was struggling against the game mechanics rather than being able to learn the game mechanics and grow from it and become better at the game.
I really enjoyed Force Unleashed for that reason when I first played it.
Mm.
As much as you want to like dunk on Starkiller or whatever, how godlike his capabilities are from the start, but like you cruise through that game and the movement. For me, from my perspective, it was really buttery. I went through the entire game in no time at all because I wasn't thinking about how it was moving. It was very intuitive. You know, I didn't have any trouble. And I remember feeling like this was a game that I could pass off. Like I would hand the controller to my young cousin and he would be like, all right, fine, I get it.
Yeah.
And would be more worried about slashing things up with a lightsaber than how do I grapple and how do I climb up this wall really quickly and backflip and use the Force.
I think Fallen Order is a really, really good example of the perils of that because a lot of games don't make a distinction between movement controls and the locomotion, which I think is really interesting because that is a very stark distinction in VR. The locomotion is very different from the movement controls. And in Jedi Fallen Order, the movement controls are tight. They're good. They're intuitive. But the locomotion is just like ever slow slightly off. Like it's just a bit mistimed or a bit misstepped. It's like just off enough to make it not gel properly.
Agreed. It feels weird. I don't like it.
Yeah, but it's just off enough. Like I said, I got used to it and could do just fine. But it took some getting used to when it probably shouldn't have. You know what I mean? Like it yes. should have been a little tighter. The animation canceling may have been like better implemented or the transitions between animations should have been quicker. Stuff like that. Like it's just a little bit off.
Well, you can always smooth things like that out and find kind of like a neutral center reset point. The point that I'm trying to make is like imagine tomorrow everybody has a headset to put themselves in the Oasis. I find that if you were to like walk into a common lobby, 20% of the people are going to be walking straight for 5 steps, 90 degree left turn, straight for 3 steps, 90 degree right turn, you know, just to wander around. Because if they've been given controls, that's the simplest way they know how to navigate, right? Even if there were better ways of locomotion, because some people prefer simple. And we are getting to a point in gaming where gamers are more sophisticated. Generation Alpha, they're not going to have to worry so much about, can these people pick up a console controller with joysticks and know how to look and move at the same time? But if you hand that to somebody who's like our parents' age, they're going to be moving and then looking and then moving and then looking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a really bad example of locomotion is Gorn in VR.
Dude, Gorn is terrible.
So like the combat feels okay, like punching a guy, hitting him with a weapon feels okay, but like clicking and dragging one hand after another to like drag yourself forward does not fucking work in a combat based game. That is way too much to juggle and try and like coordinate. I wanted to just be able to move freely with my sticks and like circle around and strafe my enemies. I don't want to drag my hands one after another to move forward to get in range to hit somebody, because by the time I reach them, I'm already at a disadvantage trying to attack them because they're wide open because I'm fucking dragging and pulling my buttons. Like, what are you fucking doing?
Man, I'm so glad you brought up Gorn because it highlights a split spectrum for me.
Mm-hmm.
There is another game called Gorilla Tag in VR. That one is just like an indie game. I think it's made by one person. It's like in super alpha. It's like basically a demo, but that's unimportant. Gorn and Gorilla Tag have very similar movement mechanics, where you use your arms to like move your character within the space, right? You're not using your sticks to walk or anything like that. You're not teleporting or like grabbing empty nothingness and pulling yourself through space. Gorilla Tag is the correct way to do that kind of movement style, where the characters are informing the locomotion, where the actual like 3D models, the arms are much longer than the body. And that is because you literally are swinging your arms to move your body. So like your hands in Gorilla Tag are fully physics interactable. So like if you put your hand on like a platform and like continue to move your hand downward, it will move the rest of your body upward because you're like pushing off of that table or the ground or whatever. Gorn is like a grab nothingness movement of your arms, and that doesn't work. And that is also why that's basically the only time you see that, except in Demio. Demio does the same movement mechanic, but Demio is an entirely different game. That does not work in a fast-paced game.
No.
Because it, one, it's slow. It, like, it's just a slow movement mechanic. But two, if you're in a fast-paced game, like your arms are moving around too much, your headset has a hard time tracking those controllers. There's all kinds of problems with that movement mechanic. But in something more slightly simpler, like Gorilla Tag, that same idea of a mechanic works flawlessly because there's no interaction there. You're just moving.
Yep.
Like you move your arm. You don't have to grab empty space to pull yourself through. Like you just move and spring off of a wall with your hand or whatever. Like it's way more intuitive. It's way easier to learn. It like it has that same chess level game mechanic where it's really easy to learn, but really, really hard to master.
I love that, though. That's the way it should be.
Yes, that is essential. And it's kind of highlighted in VR more so than that sort of thing is highlighted in other types of games, just because everything is so locomotion based in VR. Like it's so much more important.
Yeah, you have to be really inventive and creative in ways that you create locomotion for your character in VR. Because like you said earlier, there are so many ways it can go wrong and just make the player, even if you don't suffer from motion sickness, just feel disoriented or get a headache or not comfortable and just lose yourself. You have to be very, very careful about that. I want to talk about slightly less obvious things. Inventory systems. I feel like especially somebody who plays a lot of RPGs, a really good inventory system can highlight that and be seamless and make the experience that much more immersive. A really bad inventory system can yank me right the fuck out of it and can grind the game to a steep halt where I am having to stop and like awkwardly fumble with shit before I move on. How do you guys feel about that?
I have so much to say about inventory systems. Alex, why don't you talk first?
Whenever I think about inventory, I just think about slots. And I think that that's not where we're headed in terms of games. Like, inventory slots is pretty rudimentary, right? We've moved on into weight and grid and so many other inventory management.
I am of two minds, but I'm gonna let you finish.
I have some things to say about it, but you know, I like a pretty simple inventory management system. I want something that I don't have to think about too much, that I don't have to cycle through wheels to find the proper thing that I'm looking for. It depends on the game, right? If I'm playing a dungeon crawler, then sure, I want to be able to pause before I jump into a mini boss or a boss fight and like cycle through my inventory and find out what's in there, rearrange things. But the game calls for that. If I'm playing Gears of War, then what they gave us, the D-pad selection tool, that's it. There is no inventory. It's just what you have in your D-pad. Perfect. Absolutely perfect, right? So
yeah,
I think it depends on what the game calls for.
My being of two minds comes down to this, basically. Games that are first-person perspective and are focused mostly on movement, I am okay with a weight restriction system because you are being immersed in that world. I know Seth hates this system, but for me, if it's first-person perspective and the goal is to be fully immersed in that world, I'm okay with the idea of having to stop and decide what I'm going to carry or having to stop what I'm going to do because I'm over-encumbered and go back to the nearest town and sell that stuff off. To me, that makes sense because it's the goal of immersion. When it comes to games like Diablo, or the classic Dungeon Siege, if anybody played that in the early 2000s, which I think it's actually available on Steam, you should try that game because it's fucking incredible. I'm okay with like the isometric view RPGs going with the slot system because it's not so much about the movement and the immersion, it being engrossed in that world. It's more about the actual loot itself. So I don't want to run out of weight capabilities to be able to carry that shit. Give me the slotted inventory system so I have to be creative about how I drop all this shit into my inventory and move along. Because obviously you don't want players to have just unlimited inventory. Sometimes it works like Breath of the Wild, where your inventory is essentially infinite as long as you upgrade it. But with like hack and slash loot games, yeah. Otherwise I'm going to spend hours and hours just going and killing monsters and collecting the best loot. But I need to decide what I need to take with me, what I want to sell, what I want to keep for my own character as I level up and make decisions that way. Infinite loot systems are just they're not practical. They're not smart for game design because it makes the game way too fucking easy. But don't ever base your fucking inventory system on Resident Evil because that's absolute goddamn fucking trash. It's awful. It's shit. I don't want any sort of like loot and inventory system that just slows the game down or grinds to a halt where I have to stop and try and figure out your cumbersome system so I can progress my character and move forward. I don't want that. Challenge me. Make it a mechanic where I have to think about it, but don't stop gameplay and impede me from enjoying the game.
Yeah, like if you're going to have a rough inventory system, it should be part of the gameplay, not slowing down the gameplay.
Exactly.
Like Destiny.
Like Destiny. Oh, that's a great example. Or Stardew Valley is another great example of inventory management that's on the surface seems cumbersome and limiting, but in actuality, it's really smooth.
That's the main takeaway, because I came late to Destiny because Seth was like, we can't be friends if you don't play this game.
Oh, how the tables have changed, huh?
Yeah, they certainly have. But I remember being so intimidated by the inventory management system there. But it's so part and parcel to the game that you have to. You have to understand what you're doing with gun upgrades. But it's built with such sophistication that even though I didn't get into adding modifications, hell, I didn't add shaders half the time because I just wanted the classic game. And I wanted to find, you know, the next bigger, badder gun until I found a set that I really liked. Not even what was meta, just like what was going to work for me and my style of play.
What felt good to use.
Right. And that's what I think Destiny crushed it with, is that like, depending on what game you came from, if you're an FPS player, you can find something that works for you.
Destiny absolutely crushed it in that department, for sure.
I agree.
We could do a side quest about Destiny alone, for sure.
I would love to.
Yeah, I'm down too. I mean, I played both games and I agree that Destiny's inventory system is very streamlined and very well crafted. It's great.
I don't think it's streamlined. It's a lot. I think it's like the end point of that spectrum where it's about as complicated as you can make an inventory system while still keeping it super intuitive to use. It is a lot on the surface. When you look at it, it's like fucking shaders and gun combinations and ornaments and
your spader, your ship.
Yes. But as soon as you look, like as soon as you're like, whoa, okay, hold on. Let's pause and like, let's break this down a little bit and start looking at things. As soon as you do, everything makes immediate sense. Like, it's all super intuitive to use. It just seems like a lot.
Well, it's all broken down by category, too. It's helmets, it's boots, it's body armor, it's gloves. So once you understand that, it's fine.
Everyone has, like, multiple levels, too, and none of them feel out of place or hard to understand.
Yeah.
You just have to know that they're there, basically.
Yeah.
That's the mechanic that I wanted to dip into, is skill trees. And Destiny really like jogged my memory on that, because I think it's a huge thing for, I mean, the style of games that we've kind of been talking about. But like developing your skills in RPG games in particular, or even games like Destiny, skill trees vary wildly from game to game. And I think there are some really good examples like Destiny or Fable. But I want to talk about that a little bit. I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts on skill trees?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I have lots of thoughts on skill trees.
So, like you said, there's good skill trees like Fable. There's bad skill trees like Final Fantasy X.
Dude, that's, I forgot about that.
That was the most cumbersome, awful fucking shit ever. And they've gotten better about it. They haven't gotten amazing. Like, the skill trees in Final Fantasy 14 were still not... Well, not 14, yeah, 15. The skill trees in Final Fantasy 15 were still not great, but nothing has been quite as fucking awful as the... I don't remember what it was called. It was like the skill wheel or some stupid shit in Final Fantasy 10. There's a lot about Final Fantasy 10 I don't love, because I respected the fact that it was experimental and they tried a bunch of different shit. But I think that Final Fantasy as a series really needs to get back to its fucking roots. And I'm hoping that 16 is a return to form in that case. But you're absolutely right that skill trees, man, like if progressing my character and feeling like I'm accomplishing something as I'm playing and growing my characters and my skills is cumbersome and it doesn't feel good to do, and it's confusing every single fucking time I'm trying to do it, then you fucking failed at skill trees 100%.
Oh, man. Have you ever played Path of Exile?
Yeah. Yeah.
Path of Exile's skill tree is a fucking forest.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Like, I only played a little bit of Path of Exile, and everybody that I know that talks about it says, yeah, the skill tree is a lot. Period. Nobody ever says that it feels bad to use or they don't like it. They're just like, yeah, there's a billion things here.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't have like a bad opinion about it. It seems like Path of Exile is one of those that is like just so in depth, but done right. Whereas like another example, a real poor example of skill trees, and I'm loath to say it because I'm trying so hard to get you to fucking play this game, is Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk 2077 has terrible skill trees, man. It is no good.
From what little I've played of it, I'm fully aware of this, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good skill tree system. And I know that some updates have made it better. And it is not like, ugh, I don't want to play this anymore bad. But it's like, man, I expected better from you guys. Kind of bad, you know what I mean?
You're fucking CD Projekt Red. Like, come the fuck on. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cyberpunk is one of those rare misses. And even like other CDPR properties have great examples. Like they can do it properly. They just didn't hear.
No, I mean, The Witcher 3 is a great example of locomotion of your character combined with really good mechanics for controls. It's a really good combat system, even though it's really fucking difficult and it's punishing until you get the feel for it. But it's also a really good example of a proper skill tree that works and makes sense and rewards you while also challenging you to make the right decisions for the type of character or Geralt that you want to play. I got issues with The Witcher 3, but a lot of the mechanics and the gameplay design choices they made are solid. And it's a company that continues to grow because Witcher 3 is so much better in all the things I just listed than Witcher 2, which I honestly did not fucking like all that much. But Witcher 3, mechanically, is really fucking solid. It's sound.
And I know that there are people that enjoy the fiddly bits, but for me, when it comes to skill trees, like, yeah, I'm going to take that sound bite and run with it.
Just absolutely. That's just going to be the headliner. It's just, you know, people like to play with the fiddly bits. And that's it. 5-second headliner. If that doesn't hook you on Space Castle for life... It's certainly not going to be Centaur Hipster Babies.
Which is choice. I'm one of those gamers that is of the opinion that you make the mundane things that are necessary in your game as straightforward and simple as possible so that your players can get to the game itself. Because you have so many times, like, I can't tell you how many times I've been frustrated by, I need to pick up this item and I have to, like, walk around this box and I have to kneel in the proper way. I have to genuflect on the corner and I have to, you know, like,
that's a genuflect.
Genuflect.
Fuck. Genuflecting is so choice, dude. I hate games that you end up like, what do I have to do, a fucking dance? Like, how do I do this?
Red Dead Redemption 2 for all the major platforms. Massively immersive game, gorgeous to look at, really fucking in depth, like, in many respects, an absolute triumph for Rockstar Games. The fact that you have to just very fucking delicately select an item and pick it up, and the fact that your fucking character has to, like, do like a fucking 360 and do all kinds of weird fucking animations and shit to do thing you want to do was so wildly fucking frustrating for me and what caused me to quit playing that game. Because all I wanted to do was cook some fucking food and, like, boost my stats and increase my health. And the fucking character would, like, do a fucking 360 and, like, walk around a fucking log and come back and walk into the fucking fire and die because the animations are so fucking is indulgent and over the fucking top. I don't need that level of immersion in a video game. Congratulations, animators. You ruined your fucking game by making it just too fucking intricate. Like, I don't need the specific animations. If I click something, just put it in my inventory. Just do it. That's it. It's done. If I want to, like, shave his fucking beard and cut his hair, I don't need you to, like, move the character so he's the exact fucking perfect angle that you think he should be. Open up the fucking menu and that's it. God, that fucking game frustrated the shit out of me because I desperately really wanted to like it. And that mechanic that Alex just described killed the fucking game for me. It was too immersive. It was anal retentively immersive, and it just fucking ruined it because it just became a cumbersome mess. Seth, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna close out the topic. So if we have other shit to say, now's the time.
It's just my whole point was simplicity is best. I thought about it because of skill trees. So many times, I don't know how many times I played a new game where there was a skill tree and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I've been getting skill points, and then I get like 8 levels in. I'm like, this is getting pretty hard. This shit should not be this difficult. Oh, that's because there are abilities that I should have that I have not capitalized on because I didn't use my skill points or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Like, just broadcast that shit, right? Like, yeah, I turned off the tips and tricks or whatever, the highlights that are running throughout the entire thing, but it should be pretty clear that, hey, you've got something that, you know, it shouldn't take me like 8 levels to figure that out. No. That's all I'm saying. Make it simple. Make it clear.
Yeah. There should be a happy medium between holding your hand and showing you tutorial after tutorial after tutorial, and also just leaving that shit like to be discovered by accident. Like, you should know that you need to go through a skill tree and level up your character. But I also do not fucking want to spend 20 minutes through a menu-based tutorial telling me how to do that shit. It should be intuitive enough that I can figure out how to do it on my own without you spending 20 minutes telling me how to do it. Final Fantasy.
That, I think, is the thing that Destiny's inventory system does the absolute best. It is clear and obvious when you have a new skill tree item or a new ornament or whatever to apply, but it's also not annoying and in your face and flashy. All they do is just a little subtle like highlight animation on whatever thing needs to be updated. It bubbles all the way up through the tree. So if like three levels deep, you have a new skill on a piece of armor's like subcategory or whatever new subclass, like whatever, it's 3 levels deep or whatever, you still get that little like shimmer on the icon so that when you're in the menu, it catches your eye just a little bit. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, there's something here. Or if you don't, like, I know people that never do any of those and just have like Christmas tree delight of shimmery icons, it's fine. Like, it's not so distracting that you can't do it that way. You can ignore them or not. It's like just the right amount of, hey, listen.
Yeah, I don't want to get to the end of Pokemon Yellow with a Raichu, a Venusaur, a Blastoise, and a Charizard and realize, oh, I could have caught Pokemon this whole time?
Right. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Alex, your simplicity idea is what brings me to what I want to close this topic out with. I'm sure we will readdress this because game mechanics and game designs are like something that I care deeply about and not just because I'm making video games.
I care about it because I play a lot of fucking video games.
Yeah. They're some of the most interesting parts of video games is like,
yeah, I can't suffer bullshit when a game is like 20 to 30 or sometimes 60 hours long. Like, I'm not going to suffer through that shit. If your game mechanics aren't solid, sorry, like I got better things to do. I only have so much time to spend on this earth and I'm going to spend it playing really fucking good games that feel good to play.
Simplicity, I think, is where VR really shines. And there's two things I want to highlight in that regard. First is the Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge inventory system.
Really fucking good.
It's very good. For those who have never played it,
that's me.
You have a little pouch on your chest, like a bandolier pouch, that is your inventory. And it's a hybrid approach where when you take it off in space, it shows you like a 3D or like a 2D plane of inventory slots. And you've got, I don't know, what, a grid of 6, so whatever, 36 slots. But what's cool about this system, you don't really like select a thing with your other hand pointer and then like retrieve it from your inventory like you would expect from, you know, a regular console game. What you do is once you grab your pouch off your chest and the little hologram things and shows you all of your inventory slots, you just grab it with your hand out of the slot and use it or whatever. It is so intuitive that the first time I did it, I was like, holy shit, was I supposed to do that?
You're literally pulling it off of a shelf in game.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so easy to understand. They literally do not have tutorial mechanics to show you how to do it. It's wholly unnecessary.
It's very intuitive. It's very smart. Yeah.
Which leads me into my next example, which I think is a better version of this. And that is a little indie game called Into the Radius. Into the Radius is a VR game that is incredibly unsettling. It's very good. It's like a shooter that like you go into like a sort of interdimensional version of Russia sort of kind of place. It's like a wasteland that's been like hit with all these anomalies and shit's happening. Very creepy and atmospheric and spoopy, for sure. But
I'm going to laugh every time you say spoopy. Sorry.
Dude, spoopy's accurate. It's not spooky. It is actually spoopy, for real. Their inventory system is fucking rad. So you reach out your back. It's a backpack. Like all VR, not all, but like a lot of VR inventory systems, they're like tied to physical things because that's kind of just the convention in VR. Mm-hmm. So this one's a backpack, which is pretty common. Most of the time, though, when you get a backpack, you get much like Star Wars has in that, like, it shows your bag and you've got, like, a couple of inventory slots with things in it. Into the Radius does not do that. When you pull your backpack off, the front part of the bag, like, folds down so you can, like, see the entire open main pouch of your backpack.
Oh, right? That's fucking cool.
Like a camera bag, yeah.
That's not even the cool part. The cool part is the shit that you put in there is just remembered in 3D space. So it's kind of like a weight system, but it's like a spatial system where if you've got granola bars or ammo boxes or whatever, you have to like physically like organize them in this like little backpack space. And if it doesn't fit in the backpack, you can't carry it. It's awesome. It is so perfect. I want to
play this game just based on that inventory system. Dude, see, this is what I'm fucking talking about.
It's absolutely like the coolest inventory system I've ever used. It seemed like it's one of those things where you're like, dude, of course, like obviously it should work like this. Obviously. But it's never been done before to my knowledge. It's so good.
I think that's going to be the hallmark of any really good, successful VR game developers are those that really key in on the spatial awareness thing, like really dial in on what are the unique and interesting things I can do in these dimensions that I couldn't do with console gaming.
That's what makes the medium so important, in my opinion, is it kind of has all of the same things of a console, a flat screen game, but you get like, you know, a whole extra dimension to play with.
Yeah. And now with all that grab off the shelf stuff, Seth can finally build Guy's Grocery games in VR.
Let's go, dude. All right. I'll add it to my list. Let's do it.
Take us to Flavortown, son.
Fight me. Don't challenge me like that.
Our listener question comes from Sky Fieri this time, so let's listen to some messages from Earth and then get to that listener question.
Hi, I'm Amanda. And I'm Jesse, and we're the host of See You Next Tuesday podcast, true crime podcast where we talk about the crimes against family members.
Because let's be real, the ultimate See You Next Tuesdays in the world are the ones who commit crimes against family members.
100%. Right now, we are covering a tough one, moms. But don't worry, we don't discuss the terrible crimes and leave you depressed. Before we go, we tell you about our star mom of the week that we think is killing it in motherhood.
Give us a listen on most podcast platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple, Google, Stitcher, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe. As always, we will see you next Tuesday.
Is this your new style of segging?
Oh yeah.
Weirdly, I think I like it better than your last
sing
style.
Let's sing it on. Let's sing it on.
There it is. I knew it would cross the line.
We had to at some point in this podcast episode, so.
You know that throwing anybody out of the airlock on the Space Castle requires a majority vote, and Alex and I are family, so.
I will just build a robot to do it for me.
To throw yourself out?
Yeah. No, you guys can do whatever the fuck you want. I'm out of here. You can keep segging yourself all day long, dude. I don't care.
Bye. I mean, who's going to fucking stop me?
Take Goldblum with you.
I don't think I could leave him behind if I tried.
No, he's your son.
Well, how is he going to have an angsty like hero arc if he doesn't have an abandoned father issue?
That's true. I'm trying to turn him into a hero here. Okay, speaking of weird robotic sons, I've been out in deep space exploring.
Hey.
I found a thing.
Tell us.
I'll keep this brief because I don't think there's quite a lot to say. And I don't want to overstay our VR welcome. Surprise, bitch, this isn't a YouTube video.
Why am I wearing a lifted top and doing all these ASMR sounds if this isn't a YouTube video? God damn it.
We'll put it on OnlyFans.
Well, okay. That works.
Does Patreon allow not safe for work stuff? It doesn't matter. Okay,
we're going to find out.
Tell us your VR.
There's a game that just came out that I've played through twice now in VR. It is called The Last Clockwinder. And boys, let me tell you, this is an absolute gemstone of a game. This is a pure delight. I loved every minute of it. It's like a short story. It's only a few hours of playthrough. It's a puzzle game. But holy oh fuck. The voice acting and written like dialogue and the plot of the whole thing. Not gonna lie. I teared up. I teared up at the end of a puzzle game, guys.
Right on. All right.
I mean, you said Clockwinder and then you said puzzle and you checked that, like those two check boxes have little baby check boxes and that's about 20 of them right there.
There's a whole skill tree there.
Speaking of really, really good game mechanics, let me hit you with this. The core mechanic of this game is you get to make little 2 or 4 second automaton repeats of your own actions.
Yep, I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah. I need to like get a fruit over to the other side of the room. I can like record myself, pick the fruit, turn and toss it to empty space and stop recording.
What
and then
the fuck?
An automaton will stay there in that place, picking that fruit and throwing it into that space forever. It'll just keep picking a fruit and throwing it. And then I can go over to that space, record, catch the fruit, do the thing with it, and put it in a basket or whatever, and stop recording. And then I can back away, go up the stairs, and watch my autonomous sons toss and catch fruit in perpetuity.
Oh, I'm going to download this game and do some weird shit.
It is probably my favorite VR game of the year, and I did just start Half-Life Alyx. So it's so charming and adorable and witty and fun. And you feel so clever solving these puzzles. It is just perfect, dude. The game is so lovingly crafted and so well polished that it is like, man, it's wonderful. It straight up is just really, really good. And it's small, like it's a small scope of a game. Like I said, it's only a few hours of playthrough, at least the first time. That might depend on how well you can solve the puzzles, but it's not a big game and it's not a big story either. It doesn't have like galaxy ending consequent, like it's none of that. Like you're just doing a little thing in a little clock tower and that's it. Like it is exactly the kind of shit I love in VR, these small, intimate, charming stories that you don't get anywhere else. Like you can't tell this story in a 2D format because it would not have any of the impact. Like not only is it me physically doing these motions to solve these puzzles, but also like the main character's voice is like me. Like I'm reacting, like the voice lines are reacting to the things that I'm doing, so like it feels so like personal, which is a thing with most of VR games honestly, but it is deeply, deeply charming and deeply delightful. Like it is so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Fucking buy it, download it, play it. It's wonderful.
That is The Last Clockwinder.
The Last Clockwinder.
That's what I love about VR. I mean, like, you're getting mechanics that you're not seeing anywhere else. Some next level sci-fi feeling stuff, which is just excellent.
Yeah.
Makes you think about it. But there is no other medium that lets you inhabit a character in gaming as much as VR does. So.
Absolutely.
It's transformative, dude. Like, VR games are legitimately transformative. They've changed how I think about video games entirely. If you can't tell, because I constantly am trying to talk about it on this fucking podcast, like, every week.
I'm game for it, man. Like, I fucking love my Oculus 2, like, way more than I honestly thought I would. Like, I have a blast with it.
Should we add some levity to this podcast with a question from the Duke of Flavortown, Sky Fieri?
Sky Fieri, a.k.a. Skylar Giordano, a.k.a. the creator and main voice actor and editor of Omega Star 7, which is one of our favorite podcasts.
Absolutely.
He's also become a really good friend of ours. Alyx, before you read that question, Seth, do you want to do your thing and tell people how they can send in their own questions?
You can find us on Twitter @Space Castle Pod. send us a Gmail at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com if you have other shit to say. We have a Patreon, which is great. We have a Discord, which is fucking great too. Cool fucking places. Come hang out. We have a hotline if you want to call it, but I'm flat out refusing to know the number.
970-591-3577.
Perfect.
Thank you, Alex. You can call it anytime. It's a voicemail thing. Or text it. Basically, if you're like, huh, I'd like to get in contact with Space Castle. Well, let me tell you, friend, there is no shortage of opportunities.
Send us nudes and lewds via text on the hotline and we'll show them on the podcast.
No, don't do that.
Alex, it's an audio format. It was a joke.
There's some cheeky asshole out there listening to this that's like, oh, here's my opportunity. I've got this folder I've been waiting to send to the Gmail.
I'm going to get my dick on this sound-only program. If you want to try it, we applaud you.
I don't think either of you have spent long enough on the internet if you think that that's a joke. That is going to happen, friends.
Maybe they're like some like Chewbacca cosplay dicks or something like that. I don't know, something interesting. Like a Sephiroth cosplay dick with like some silver hair. I don't know. Mix it up. Alex is going to use the airlock and just throw himself out of it now. Like, that's it. Sephiroth dick is the line I've crossed.
Hit us with that question, friend.
I don't need, how do we tee this up? It's the simplest question that we've been asked.
What does your heart tell you? Because I think the weird, awkward, stumbling thing that you're going to put out there, Alex, is probably the right way to do it.
It just needs to be put out there and we'll just work on it from there. We'll figure it out as we go.
Chisel it out like a fucking statue.
It's going to be a big old square of marble and we're going to chisel out a really fucking hideous Michelangelo's David out of that shit. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, we've been talking about games, and this is a classic game. You've heard it since grade school. Your cast of characters are the three of us. Fuck, marry, kill.
Hold on.
Fuck, marry, kill for the three of us.
We have to decide, like...
You guys know this question.
We have to decide which one of us is the fuck, which one of us is the marry, which one of us is the kill. All of this dead air right now is staying in the podcast.
I don't. Okay. First of all, Skylar. Why, friend? I thought we were cool.
Well, he just wants to figure out which one of us he wants to marry, which one he wants to fuck, and which one to throw by the wayside. It's a logical question. It makes sense.
He's going to write it into a Megastar 7 watch.
I don't think I'm the marrying type, so let's take me off the marry column.
Isn't a logic puzzle, DT. Give us your...
This is not a logic puzzle. I'm approaching this as like a well-designed logic puzzle in a video game. I'm Legend of Zelda-ing this shit.
This is not difficult, okay? Look, it's simple. I will break it down for you right now.
He's going to say, kill DT, kill Alex, fucking marry Seth.
Here's how it breaks down. DT is not marriage material. He is fuck material.
God damn right I am.
Alex is obviously marriage material. Have you met the kid? I am obviously the one you kill because I am far too powerful.
Define powerful.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do.
That's my power play. I'm not doing it.
So, okay, let's discuss more about how I'm fuck material. Which is absolutely true. I have a 5-star rating on Google. Alex is just perpetually fucking like just traumatized by this entire situation.
I don't even know how to jump into this one. I'm like trying to think. Like, I read the question. And I feel pretty proud of myself for getting that far. Seth, I think you're discounting yourself. You've got marriage material there.
You're also fuck material. Who would not want to grab a hold of that red beard with both hands and go for a ride?
Shit. I do have a good mustache for riding.
I didn't mean to laugh. I meant that honestly. That is a sexy fucking red beard.
In reality, guys, all three of us are all three, which is why it's impossible for us to choose.
Okay, but we've been conscripted to answer this question definitively?
I don't think I'm capable of doing a general one. So for Skylar, the fuck, marry, kill of the three of us for Skylar, I'm sticking with my original one. Fuck DT, marry Alex, kill me.
Alex?
Hard pass, DT?
Fuck me, definitely, yes. God, this is, I don't want to sentence any of my friends to die. This is rough. All right, here we go. I'm just, all right, you're going to marry Alex. No, you're going to fuck Alex because he's broad-shouldered and he's ripped and he's handsome as fucking shit. It looks like Ewan McGregor, if Ewan McGregor was like 10 times more handsome. You're going to marry Seth because Seth has got the money because he's a developer and he's stable and he's a cool fucking dude. And you're going to kill me because I don't want kids. I don't want to buy a house. All I want to fucking do is play video games and drink and travel. And that's only fun for the short term. So you're going to kill me. There it is. There it is. Alex, now you have to fucking answer. You have to answer. We have to come to a consensus.
I think you did pretty good, except I think you're the fuck, and then Seth is the marry, and then I'm the kill. Because
how are you the kill?
No, Alex, what the fuck? Because there's the stability.
There's no wrong answers here, but that was the wrong answer.
See, this is why Alex is the marry and the fuck, because he's such a sweetheart. He's like, kill me, guys. Like, come on.
It just hurt. It hurts my heart to think, because like, I'd rather it be me.
Guys, we're overlooking one fact here. We do not have to kill each other now. It could be when we're 98 years old. Who gives a fuck?
Okay.
Seth's breaking the game. I like this. Yeah, rewrite the script.
It doesn't say fuck tomorrow, marry next week, and kill today. It's like, it's ambiguous.
It also doesn't say fuck, marry, euthanize. So,
kinda.
Boy, do you think I am not going out without a fight? You're gonna have to kill me. Are you fucking serious?
We've solved this one previously on the podcast. Who wins Highlander style?
Death will have to beat me in Battleship for sure. There's no way around it.
This is the grossest fucking podcast on the internet.
This is the worst.
I hope you're happy, Skylar.
I'm sure he is. Okay, all right. Let's figure this out. Who dies? Let's get that out of the way. Who dies?
Me, obviously.
Alex, what's your vote?
I abstain.
You have to. You have to.
There is no plea the fifth, bitch.
There's no ill feelings here.
All right, then I choose to go last.
No, I dubbed you next. You have to choose now.
Then me. I choose me.
Fuck.
DT, if you choose yourself, I'm quitting the podcast.
Oh, I choose Seth.
Yes. Correct. Thank you. I'm glad somebody here makes any goddamn sense.
That was Sophie's choice times 1,000. Just because I do have that 5-star Google rating, I am the fuck. I am. Are we still friends, Seth?
Yeah, dude. It was the right answer.
Okay.
You guys can't see Seth's like very serious face right now.
Singular tear rolling down his cheek and just pure fucking betrayal. Okay.
Guys, it's hypothetical. It's not real.
If the kill portion is hypothetical, are the other two hypothetical as well?
No, because those are just good times.
Okay, Seth is dead. Alex, and Seth, you can vote on this too. Between me and Alex, which one is the fuck, which one's the marry? I'm going to say Alex is the marry for obvious reasons.
Alex is obviously the marry because he is like...
wifed up.
Well, yeah, in real life, but...
You believed in the sanctity of marriage. Like, yeah, you're...
Your husband material. Like, fuck it, fuck straight it. Up. Your husband material. Like, you are made of the husband stuff.
Guys.
So that's an... there's no debate there.
Okay. Alex, do you have any objections? Are you the Mary and I'm the fuck?
I suppose so.
Okay. That's unanimous. I really thought that was going to be more brutal. I don't know.
It's because you guys just don't want to kill me, and I get it. I'm awesome.
I don't want to kill you, ever.
It was very economical. I don't know how I feel about this.
Look, if you have to kill somebody, like, it shouldn't be emotional. It should be business.
All right. At what point did you join the Republican Party? Skylar, I hope you're fucking happy. And I hope you're ready to go through with all three of these options, because I am.
Yeah, Skylar, I'll be fucking waiting.
I will be waiting to fucking. And I think it's going to do it for this episode of Space Castle. As always, it is your clubhouse and ours for all things nerdy. I want to thank our good friend Brian Lovett for co-writing our theme song, These Notes.
These Notes.
We want to invite you guys to join our Patreon at patreon.com/spacecastlepod. Help support the show if you want to. In return, you receive stickers and early access to videos and t-shirts if you are into that sort of thing. All kinds of shit happening. My name is DT, and I am the fuck.
My name is Redwine and Snatch Alex, part-time librarian, Winnebago Thief, Inverse Batman, King Killer Dude, Master and Space Commander, and Molotov Dong Hammer, and I'm the Mary.
And I'm Kill. Bye, love you.